In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
We all know the ugly experience of someone who is arrogant. We know arrogance when we see it. And we know how we feel when we're around somebody who is arrogant. Ultimately, I don't think anybody likes having that experience being around somebody who is displaying great arrogance. But interestingly enough, though we may not like that experience, we don't like the experience of humility either, necessarily. Humility isn't always a cherished virtue. We find arrogance distasteful, but we often associate in our minds humility with lots of negative things. We associate it with weakness or with failure or with losing and these kinds of negative things. I mean, think about it. In the public arena, when is the last time you saw someone who received kudos for the fact that they were a humble person? It doesn't happen. It's not associated with something that gifted individuals possess. No, rather, we emphasize other things. And I would say that something is drastically wrong with that perspective. Somewhere along the line, we got on the wrong path and started walking the wrong direction, and certainly our values have become distorted. The values of this world are not consistent with the values of the kingdom of heaven. We have to recognize that that is often the case. We have to recognize that our values need to be in alignment with the kingdom of heaven. From a heavenly perspective, humility is one of the greatest virtues that anyone could possibly possess. In the epistle text today, that as the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, he is reinforcing this very idea of humility. He reminds us of the great humility of our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, how, though he is God, he emptied himself. He humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant. He was found as one of us, as a human being like us. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, which is the ultimate humiliation. And because of his humility, God the Father has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. In the kingdom of God, we live by the principle of humility. We humble ourselves before God, and God exalts us, as is the case with Christ. He humbles himself and walks as an obedient servant, and God highly exalts him. The scriptures teach us this principle again and again. The scriptures teach us that God opposes the proud, but in fact, God gives grace to the humble. We strongly affirm what Christ says. Speaks, that he speaks true words and he speaks with authority into our lives. And part of Christ's authority, there's various aspects to Christ's authority, but one part of the authority with which Christ speaks is the fact that he speaks without guile, without hypocrisy. Christ leads by example. He doesn't say, do what I say, not what I do. But in fact, it's quite to the contrary. He says, do what I do. He never asks us to do what he himself is unwilling to do. Quite to the contrary, Christ leads by example. He demonstrates how we are to live, and then he invites us to follow in his example. So Christ takes the lead in humility, in serving. He shows us the way by coming as the humble servant to earth. And Christ is the perfect example of humility. And thus the Apostle Paul is instructing us in the epistle text today to have that same mind, that same attitude, that same approach to life that we also witness in Christ, in his humility. That same mind that was demonstrated in Christ's humility, we are to walk in that same kind of attitude, that same disposition toward life. Humbling ourselves in obedience to God. Humbling ourselves, taking up our cross and dying to self. Humbling ourselves and learning what it means to serve others rather than simply serve ourselves. We are to have this mind. That mind that was also demonstrated in Christ our Lord. So today's epistle text is reinforcing this idea, but this epistle text is chosen specifically today for the feast that we celebrate, the Feast of the Dormition of Mary. In other words, this text is chosen because it has something to do with Mary. And of course, as we read the epistle text, it has absolutely nothing to do with Mary on a historic sense. He's not mentioning Mary. There's no reference to Mary here. But it's about the themes that are being raised here, that the Apostle Paul is raising here. And certainly as we look at this passage, we recognize that that has a lot to do with Mary. Humility has much to do with Mary because she lived with that same humble disposition that the Apostle Paul is calling us to follow after the example of Christ. She had this same mind that we are instructed to possess, which was also demonstrated in Christ our Savior. We have to return to the story and remember, what is Mary's contribution to the human race? What is her contribution to the salvation history? When the archangel Gabriel appeared to her and revealed God's plan to her, that she would miraculously bear a child by a mystical act of God, she had a choice in the matter. We can never forget the fact that she had a choice. And she responded to God's plan with an affirmative, with yes. She submitted to the plan of God and said, yes, be it done to me according to your word. And by that choice, by that act of her will, she humbled herself. She began to walk in obedience unto God. And certainly, whatever she might have envisioned her life would be someday, at that point in time, that was all over. Very clearly, God's plan literally altered the course of her life. And the rest of her life was going to be dictated by that choice, by that yes in that moment. Again and again, over the course of her life, she would continue to live out what that initial decision was. She would continue to walk in obedience to that initial affirmation of God's plan. Her life was dedicated to one purpose, to one cause. That was giving birth to Christ the Messiah and raising Christ our Lord. And her life has ever been defined by that one act, that she gave birth to Christ and that she raised Christ as his mother. You see, Mary lived a humble and a selfless life. She ultimately, in humility, put her son before herself. Ultimately, we don't know a lot about Mary in her personality and her personal life because she was ultimately all about promoting her son. She lived by the same motto that we see John the Baptist speaks to those that come to him. Christ must increase, but I must decrease, is what John said. And in a real sense, Mary lives by that motto. Christ must increase, I must decrease. It's not about me, it's about him, is how she lived her life. And really, could there be a greater accomplishment for any mother than to raise a holy, pious child, to raise the Messiah, to raise a Savior? Of course, there's no greater thing that could be offered than what Mary ultimately offers to the world. And I think it's true for any mother, for any father, for any parent. We have to consider, what greater thing is there in our lives to offer than to raise our children, to love God, to serve him, to be faithful believers, and to live holy and righteous lives in Christ. Today, we need to consider how often our values get affected by the values of the world around us, and how they become subtly twisted and distorted. And before we know it, we're adopting values of the world and we're forgetting what the values of the kingdom of heaven are all about. We start to value the things that simply do not matter in this life. And that's where we put all of our attention and all our time and all our energy. And we often overlook and undervalue the things that matter the most in this life. Humility and serving are things that matter a great deal. They matter to all of us. They're values of the kingdom of heaven. They're values that we should pass to our children, that we should instill in our children. But the only way we can pass these values to our children is if we're willing to follow in Christ's example by leading by example. We have to lead by our own example in the home. As parents, we have to walk in humility. As parents, we have to follow Christ's example of serving others. And our children observe that this is something important to us, and it is passed on to them by the fact that we live our lives in this manner. See, we need to possess the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Paul says this morning. No matter how old we are or young we are, no matter what we may have achieved in this life or failed to achieve, no matter what our position in this life may be, we all need to hold that same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. That mind needs to be held amongst ourselves. We must walk as servants, walking the path that Christ walked. We must walk in humility, in the humility of Christ, in the humility that Mary displays in her life. We must realign our values to be consistent with the values of the kingdom of heaven. We must uphold humility as the greatest of all virtues. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.